And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and a very warm welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Lisa... Hang on a minute. I'm not Lisa Loader. I'm Ezra Peregrine. On the show today, we aren't kids anymore.
Dylan Mulvaney is in the UK and we chatted to her about her appearance at the Savoy Hotel. Not hotel, theatre in London.
We did indeed. And Catherine Evans.
Award-winning author. She's catapulted to the top of the trans support list with her video that went viral.
She absolutely has.
And all that today on Shatter.
It is. Bum 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 bum. Tried to like harmonise with the bums. Didn't work. The booms. Didn't work.
It's the Ez show.
Sorry, my husband, yeah.
Pedro Pascal, when I get my... you can't get the tech people, can you? Can't give you a microphone.
Why are you bringing Pedro in?
Pedro
tech?
Pascal.
I was doing the Ez show. You weren't supposed to
sorry,
talk
yet,
you
sorry.
See? It's supposed to just be Ez.
Goodness me. Pedro Pascal, my future husband, not related to Joe Pasquale, but, you know, will be there for me in my time of need. As he is for all trans women.
You haven't clipped what I'm doing to you, have you?
It's all right. I know what you're doing.
You
I'm ignoring you because you decided to poke me in the arm just before we went live because I was trying to get sympathy for how blimmin' cold I am.
He's been so supportive going back to Pedro, haven't he? Pedro, if you're listening before that my mic wasn't put up, but now it is, I want your babies.
Oh,
whoa.
My God.
Whoa. Wow. Okay. Curveball was not expecting that.
He's
an incredible trans ally. His wonderful sister is trans. Bella Ramsey is non-binary, and
they're in the last of us.
Absolutely.
And brilliant.
Oh my goodness,
it?
Yeah. It's so good. Yeah, but
yeah,
I don't
new season coming out soon.
No, it's out. And
it's
no spoilers.
Out.
Yeah, no spoilers. Stephanie, no spoilers. I'm not having it.
The last
season of Stranger Things is due as well.
Yes, it is.
Stranger Things fan.
Another one.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. The final one.
Last.
They're bringing it back.
They
yeah,
are bringing
last,
it back.
The final one.
Well, how many times? How many ways can you have that monster on the upside down coming back?
Yeah,
again?
I've read too many spoilers. Yeah. I'm quite excited actually.
So on Netflix there is the behind the scenes of the stage show. I haven't seen the stage show,
yes,
but now
I'd
I've seen
like...
the behind the scenes. Ooh, I really want to see the stage
go.
Show.
Let's have
day trip
a clear
to London.
Day
I
trip.
I it's still on, if I'm honest, but we can have a look.
Yeah, let's
it looks fantastic.
It does actually, and there's some really good stuff out there at the moment. Heartstoppers films coming out with the wonderful Joe and Kit. Also,
I didn't
my
know
husband's
they were making a film.
Yes,
also your husband. Are you just married to everyone?
I have three husbands
apart from your poor girlfriend.
Oh, hang on. There's maybe four, but you know, yeah, three. no, I'm her husband.
A husband.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm really excited. Alice.
So does that make me a husband?
Yes, you are her husband.
You're a radio husband.
Yeah, husband.
Husband.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Husband.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Anyway, Dylan Mulvaney. She's in the country.
Yeah, well, she went to Scotland
she's
first.
She's in flats. She's in London.
Yeah, but she was wearing high heels on Edinburgh streets. Wow. Those cobbled streets.
Wow. I'm sorry, Dylan. I don't know why I said hotel.
Well, the Savoy is a
she's
hotel.
She's probably in the Savoy Hotel.
Well, yes,
and
true.
Performing in the Soho Savoy Theatre.
So, well, should we find out a bit about the performance?
Go on, then.
Oh, I would if it
well,
play.
You know how much we love the theatre on Shout Out Radio, and it does uplift all of us. So we're off to London, to the West End, and we're joined by Dylan Mulvaney. Dylan, welcome to Shout Out. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm so happy to be talking with you today.
Now, before we get into the now, let's go back to your childhood. Theatre. Have you always been into acting? Have you always put your hand up, said, I want to go in the school play?
Oh my God, yes. And my book came out last month, Paper Doll, and I write about how when I was 3 years old, I went to see How the Grinch Stole Christmas at the Old Globe Theatre, which is the San Diego version of the Globe in London. Not quite as old as your guys' Globe, but we... me and my family went to see it, and I pointed to my mom and I was like, I want to do that. Like, that's, and I was three. And then she put me in dance lessons. Then when I was like, I started auditioning for it when I was like six. I didn't get it till I was 10, but then I finally was on that stage doing that show. And that was kind of, I think the happiest moments of my life have always been on the stage. I feel like it kind of almost serves as a benchmarker for kind of looking back over my life has been every time that I come back to it. And now, you know, to be here on one of the most iconic stages is kind of feels a little unreal. But like just so many happy moments this week of like, it feels very pinch me because I love London and I think the theater here is so epic.
I couldn't agree more. And it's lovely to hear that you saw something at 3 years old and it had such an incredible impact on you, and that the Grinch has sort of propelled you from three to now onto.
Have you guys gotten the Grinch over here?
I've never seen it. I mean, the film, yes, but not the stage production.
I actually interviewed the Grinch. Do you remember that from Universal Studios?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, that was an experience.
It was. But do tell us, how has your last week been? When did you arrive in London? How's the walking?
I went straight from Gaga-cella. Got off the plane from Coachella to went straight to from the airport to rehearsal. And I had sealed my fate in that decision. I could have come earlier, but I was like, no, I have to go see Miss Lady Gaga, which I think was a queer awakening in itself. And immediately just, you know, jumped into what is a crazy feat, which is this putting this, you know, show up in 2 weeks and, you know, getting the music together and the cast and the costumes. And I mean, we're now in a place where I'm like, okay, yes, we're going to be able to pull this off. And it's just so exciting to know when you put a group of, you know, talented humans in a room and to see what happens. And, you know, I hadn't met any of these lovely performers before, and it already kind of feels like they're my like London family. So I think we definitely lucked out with the group, and especially since it's going to come around just in a few days now is the performance.
Absolutely, because it starts on Monday.
Oh, and you did, you know what? My ADHD got the best of me. You did ask me about the footwear. And
that's okay.
I have succumbed, and I'm wearing penny loafers now pretty much everywhere, against my own kind of
against
greater
your will.
Task. I love heels. And even when I was in Edinburgh, which I would say has even rockier sort of footpaths, I was still in stilettos, you know, at 3 in the morning. And now I just feel like, you know, you can do the stiletto thing here, but it almost, I feel more London girly by just wearing the penny loafers. And it just feels like a rite of passage to just give in and wear the damn flats.
London has peer pressured you into penny loafers. It's I think it has that way about it, because there is so much walking and traveling and tubing and busing. So you've only had 2 weeks to rehearse. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, I was also just going to add that I'm still cold all the time, and everyone says that this is like immaculate weather, but I'm freezing. But I've got 2 heated blankets now that I sleep between, sort of like a burrito. And everyone else is like in like shorts and t-shirts, and I'm in like a parka.
Well, as soon as it goes over about 14 degrees, we just sort of think it's our summer. We were sat
it's
on the balcony today in t-shirts. So we are those Brits that you're talking about there.
And they get hardier the far north you go.
Yeah.
So when you were up in Edinburgh with those I don't know how you put up with stilettos on cobbled streets.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's amazing.
Yeah, you need to come back in June, July and August. You might get a little bit more heat then. But so tell us about the musical. What attracted you to it? What's been your journey with that? And is it only 2 weeks of rehearsals?
It's only 2 weeks of rehearsals, and we've got 2 shows on Monday, and hopefully the show will become something more, you know, after the concert. But I was approached. I got a really lovely handwritten letter from the writer Drew Gasparini, whom I had been listening to his songs and singing his songs back in college. He's sort of like a musical theater you know, college kid icon just because of the way that he writes music. It's very like story driven. And I think that it's really helpful, especially as like a young actor, to have writing that, you know, tells a clear linear path so that, you know, as you're still kind of working on your craft, you know, what you need to be doing and how, and there's, God, his songs have every sort of emotion, you know, known to human. And I think that's what's really cool about the show is it's a collection of songs that tell kind of a greater story. But if, say, you aren't a particularly fond of one song, the next one, it might be your in your bag. Like, I think that it's just exciting to know that this really does have something for everyone. And the way that it was also shown to me was that, like, the show itself defies gender. And I think it's been really tricky as, you know, a trans woman trying to audition for musical theater, because a lot of the times they're not willing to change the keys and they, you know, don't quite know how to work with trans performers in certain settings. And so this show really felt like a blank slate where I could just bring myself, I could bring, you know, my story that even kind of separate from transness. It felt great to just be able to explore these different emotions and not have it made all about my identity. But then I get to kind of find the sweet moments of the show where I do want to bring that to it. So I'm hoping that this is like a positive step in, you know, showing that trans people deserve to be on stage, and that, you know, I, as much as it's lovely to make TikTok videos and share my story, I think that sometimes it can be easier when you're, you know, kind of watching a character, or, you know, whether that's on television or in the theater. I love that someone can kind of absorb my identity without like being directly, you know, kind of thrown it across a TikTok screen.
Thank you. It sounds like this has had a profound impact on you, and I interjected, Hefner.
You're very welcome. You can interject all you like. Dylan, something very personal now, very personal question. How do you remember your lines?
Oh, honey. I think that it's one of those, I in college, I was notoriously like always the kid that was like could not get the lines, I'd always met phlebum, and now it's sort of like a fuck it, just do it situation where if strong and wrong, that's what I say is if you're gonna do it, you go out there, you can sing some la la la's, if you know, but actually it's sticking, because I think the way that the songs work too, especially, are like it's hard to miss a line because they're all so good that. And they tell like a larger story that I haven't been flubbing. I'm too hard. So fingers crossed that on show day that still is the same.
I hope so. What a wonderful word. I can't say I've ever heard of that. So I'm going, if I mess up my lines ever, then I'm going to say I'm flubbing, or I am a flubber. That's fantastic. We're rapidly running out of time. I can't believe it. So before we come to the end of the interview, what are your plans going forward? What are you most excited about?
Oh, I'm excited to keep doing theater, hopefully over here in London. And I'm also planning to take my solo show to America, hopefully later this year. I am excited, I think, to kind of now take what I built on social media and hopefully bring it to, you know, other avenues and show that we trans people can exist everywhere in the entertainment industry and beyond. And I think, while I don't think of myself as an activist in any way, I do think that this feels like a great way for me to advocate for the community of making sure that we can, you know, see ourselves in different places. And I think the West End Theater is one that was on my vision board for sure. So this is, it's a big dream come true moment.
I'm so, so pleased for you. I'm so excited for you. I know that all the listeners are going to be wanting you to have the best experience. And
thank you.
It's really been wonderful. Wonderful speaking.
Thank you.
Dylan's going to be in We Aren't Kids Anymore at the Savoy Theatre, and that starts on Monday 28th, and you can get tickets from the Savoy Theatre. Dylan, before we go, and just in case one of our listeners has been living under a rock, what's your socials?
Oh my gosh. Keep them under the rock. No, my social, honestly, I want to be wherever they are, I think that would be great. I'm at Dylan Mulvaney. You can find me on Instagram or TikTok. I have a podcast now, and my book is out as well, called Paper Doll.
And your podcast is fantastic. But I'm aware you've got a really, really busy afternoon. So thank you again so, so much. And wish you the best of luck for next week. Break a leg.
Thank you all.
People still say that?
Yes, of course they do.
Yes, that's the best one.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye for now.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
Good evening to everyone. Chloe Nelkin, thank you so much for getting us Dylan, and we've been waiting since last December, actually, to get you. There's quite a queue of people wanting to chat to
December.
Dylan.
Yeah.
So now, Olivia of Chloe Nelkin, your next task, Olivia, is to get us Elton John, okay?
Tuesday.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
You've got 28 days.
Mm. Or Saturday, because he sings a really good song about that.
Oh, you do make me laugh. Oh, if only we could get Elton John. God, I'd be very happy.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Bang, bang. Bang, bang. Bang, bang. Bang, bang. When did you say this first came out?
It was Cher who did it first, 1966.
Wow. That's from 2021, that one.
Yeah, but it was a lot faster than that.
Oh, yes, that's supposed to be
Lumiere.
That's like a 45 RPM down to 33.
This is the Lumiere remix of it. Okay. They released it. They did some really cool thing. They took the same song and they released different versions of it over different years.
Oh, that's really
cool. And this
cool.
is the one from 2021. It's a group called Powerhouse, Berliners and Chloron.
Chloron.
I'm assuming it's Chloron. It's double L. yeah, and that's the remix they did. They released that one in 2021. I've got the one that they also did in 2023, which is similar but quite different in that way. So, I mean, it's the same song, but they do different mixes. I just really liked it. It's quite an emotional
version
of it. Well, so, played it on the show before.
Absolutely. I loved it.
Anyway, shall we get some news headlines?
Mr.
Star.
This is Shout Out News. Welcome along. LGBTQIA plus Catholic groups are in official mourning this week after the death of the radical reforming Pope, His Holiness Francis, on Easter Monday morning. Pink News said that the development had devastated gay and trans Catholic organisations. Indeed, Dignity USA, an American-based LGBTQIA plus Catholic network, issued this statement on the passing of the Pope. We honour Francis' faithful and compassionate leadership and service to our church and the world, according to Melly Barber, the president of Dignity. His pastoral approach, concern for the planet, and strong commitment to the gospel will have lasting impacts on our church and the world. We also recognise that Pope Francis has raised awareness of LGBTQ plus issues in the church in truly unprecedented ways. He spoke about us using our own terms and made a point of being seen meeting with LGBTQ plus people frequently. This sent a message of recognition and inclusion we have never experienced from the Vatican before, said Barber. Dignity USA also acknowledged that Pope Francis' legacy on LGBTQ issues is complicated. Even with the recognition of so many positive words and actions, church teachings and even some recent Vatican documents remain problematic, said Dignity's executive director, Marianne Duddy Burke. Now, Pope Francis is currently lying in state where the faithful have a chance to pay their respects. His funeral is due to take place on Saturday the 26th of April and will be covered live on the BBC News Channel and Sky News Worldwide. Meanwhile, for those of you with shortwave receivers, Radio Vaticana transmits news live in English direct from the Holy See on 15,595 kHz at 6:30 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time every morning. The fallout from the ruling by the Supreme Court that the 2010 Equalities Act definition of female relates to biological sex at birth continues. On Saturday of last week, more than 50,000 people nationwide, over 20,000 in London, according to experienced demonstration watchers, rallied to put the case for transgender freedom and register their opposition for the direction of hateful debate from certain extremists. Pro-trans graffiti was left on several statues around London, which prompted condemnation from the political class. But as more than one trans blogger pointed out, these people are more incensed by an inanimate statue than the very real violence felt by trans people. Left-leaning Labour Party NEC member Jess Barnard told the Independent newspaper that Sir Keir Starmer's apparent capitulation to the Daily Mail contingent in society risks putting trans women at risk if they're harassed when using male bathrooms, as transphobes have demanded. The Prime Minister is either going to, quote, put trans people in dangerous situations, Jess Barnard told the Independent. She went on, we have a hysterical situation where you have a court ruling that talks about the legitimate protection of sex-based spaces, but it did not say that trans women can now only use men's toilets. And now you have ministers telling trans women to put themselves in harm's way. National Student Pride, which networks between the academic countries... I beg your pardon. National Student Pride, which networks around academic services, huge number of LGBT plus student societies, is inviting students to join with them to party on Monday the 28th of April. In a press release, a National Student Pride said, we're thrilled to invite you to a free drinks reception to celebrate the brand new popcorn hosted in the Departure Lounge at Heaven Nightclub from 10:30 to 11:30 p.m. as Heaven opens its doors. There'll be free drinks and free entry to popcorn included. To join with Student Pride on this auspicious occasion, register at tickettailor.com and search for National Student Pride. Back to protests, and Ella Gucci, writing in the new edition of lesbian magazine Diva, reports that two young activists from the group Trans Kids Deserve Better, known as TKDB, have made a powerful statement to call out transphobia in the UK media. They climbed up on the Daily Telegraph offices to display a banner that reads The Daily Smellograph. According to TKDB, the Telegraph has published over 150 articles recently focusing on trans people. The action by these activists aims to expose the way that this rhetoric is directly harmful. In a statement by one of the activists, they said, every time I see an article from the Telegraph, my heart sinks. Why would a group of adults dogpile and bully oppressed children who just want to live as their true selves? They write countless articles on us, but do we ever get asked for our input? Of course not, they concluded. The Electoral Commission and local authorities are in the process of encouraging people to register to vote ahead of local English council elections next Thursday, the 1st of May. Thousands of council seats are up for re-election, and with the debate over trans issues, immigration and the general direction of the country being skewed by right-wing newspapers, electoral boffins are reminding minorities that their votes will really count this time around. Remember that you now need photographic evidence in order to vote. Examine the Electoral Commission website for further information on how to ensure your voice is going to be heard. And finally, Thursday the 1st of May will mark International Workers' Day, and the political left, including Social Democrat, Socialist and Anarchist groups, will be rallying in many cities to protest for freedom and fairness for working people. LGBTQIA plus groups will be in attendance, particularly LGBT plus branches of trade unions. The 1st of May also has importance for LGBTQIA plus pagans. Indeed, for most branches of paganism, the last day of April and the 1st day of May is celebrated as the Feast of Beltane. The pagan bookstore The Goddess and the Green Man on Glastonbury High Street notes that this is a time of year in which spring edges towards summer and traditions are of fertility, lovemaking and marriage. Despite some reservations from mid-20th century pagan teachers, most sects of paganism have long welcomed same-sex couples, thruples and moorsums to wed via a hand-fasting ritual. And yes, we can also confirm that the maypole erected on many English village greens on May the 1st is indeed intended to be a ruddy great phallus. Well, it's the start of the fight back on trans liberation as the community gathers its resources and organises against oppression. Why not follow the stories as they develop through the week by tuning into community radio broadcasts, podcasts, and checking out the LGBTQIA plus media in your area. You can also find us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt. For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That caught you off guard, didn't it?
Oh, one doesn't mind being caught off guard, Andrew.
Don't call me Andrew.
Sorry, Andy. Sorry. Yeah. I'm delighted to say we now have a wonderful interview with Catherine Evans, whose video went viral. This will be mentioned in a minute. But she's a wonderful ally, and she's got a really important message.
Well, we've had quite a hefty week, and since the court ruling, I know that I felt a few thumps in my stomach. One of those was by the MPs and Faulkner saying that trans women were not allowed to use the toilets I've actually been using for 25 years. And all around the world, and never had an issue. And all of a sudden, I'm having an issue in the UK. Now, I don't know whether you saw it, but we did post a piece, a short piece from Catherine Evans. It went viral, and we will play that now. After which, we're going to have a chat with Catherine.
Please stop talking about this court decision that was made yesterday about the definition of what a woman is and framing it within a victory for a feminist context. It is not. Those people are like leftovers from the 1980s. They are exclusionary feminists. They are nothing to do with a modern feminist movement. And this is absolutely not a victory for women's rights. You realise what you have done. You know, we now all have to prove that we are women in order to get the services that we most feel most comfortable in. Technically, I will have to prove that I'm a woman to be able to be searched by a female officer if I'm arrested by the police. I mean, you could say, well, you look like a woman and you sound like a woman, but so do a lot of my trans female friends. And what about my friends who have got polycystic ovary syndrome and are a little bit hairy about the face? What about my friends who are quite tall and well-built with square jaws and look a little bit masculine? What about them? This is not a victory for women's rights. This is a victory for the patriarchy. We have an actual real fight still on our hands. One woman every 3 days is killed in the UK by a cis man. That is where the problem is, not with a persecuted minority. Honestly, just put your energy somewhere where it's really needed and stop picking on a persecuted minority. You are doing the work of the patriarchy for them.
Catherine, welcome to Shout Out.
Hello, I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
We're delighted to have you. And that viral video that our lovely listeners will have just heard is the video that I saw that made me want to reach out to you. And I just wanted to ask you, you know, of course, with what happened last week, what was it that built up for you that put you in that space where you made that video and so articulately spoken as well within it?
It's a miracle that it was articulate, because I literally pulled my car over in a bit of a fury. So that there are two reasons. The first reason is I cannot bear that this is being framed as a feminist victory. I've been a feminist all my teenage adult life, ever since I read a Bunty where the girls were doing all the washing up and the boys were going out and having a great time. And this, to me, defining women by their biology is the thing that we have been fighting against forever. So forcing that through a court and then claiming it as a feminist victory was just enraging to me. And I also worried for my trans friends, because I thought there would be an immediate kickback, which there was. The British Transport Police jumped on this almost immediately and said, OK, if you are arrested now, you will be searched by an officer that matches your perceived gender. That's not quite how they put it, but you get my meaning. That puts all of us at risk because they are then deciding on the spot by looking at us, by judging us on our appearance, who should be doing that search. But also, I think they are wrong. The Good Law Project has done some really amazing summaries of this. Trans women are still protected as women under the Equalities Act. And I can't see how that fits with what they're saying. So it was both those things. It was both those things.
There was a lawyer on our local BBC station this morning who was quite good. He said he absolutely does not agree with the MPs or Faulkner and says they are wrong because at the moment it's still legal for trans women and trans men to use the chosen toilet. So trans women in women's toilets, trans men in men's toilets. It's still legal. There is no law to say you can. And he said that the Supreme Court have left things in a bit of a quandary because they've left full protections in for trans people. And yet open this door for really pushing Westminster to do something about it and probably make new laws, hopefully, which will get kicked out.
Well, exactly. I totally agree with all of that. But it was really predictable because we all know why this was pushed through the courts. This was and it was an anti-trans people agenda. So, of course, it's been blown up and spun to make it look like it's a victory for what certain people want to happen. And I think we have to fight that on that front as well, on its real truthful legal ramifications, because I don't think that's true. We aren't there yet. You're welcome in a loo with me anytime.
Thank you. I think one thing it has definitely done, and you know, as Steph was saying there, it's being challenged, and rightfully so, you know, because we still have rights, we're still protected as trans people in the UK. But I think what it has done, and what I've seen amongst those I love, and through listening and watching other people, is the fear. It's that super hypervigilance. It's like, you know, a lizard on a rock watching for a threat all the time. You know, are people going to say something? Are people now feeling that they have a right to be externally, outwardly hateful and cruel, vindictive, and push us out of spaces where we're literally just wanting to have a wee? Because let's be honest, that's all we're going in there for. We're not going in there for any other reason other than that. And you know, that's something that I've become incredibly sort of aware of, and it feels very heavy. I don't know how you're feeling, but it's the heaviness that has come with this, and the real sort of punch in the gut of I was not prepared for this last Tuesday.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think you're right. I think it does put trans people more at risk. Everything like this does. You know, if we allow a discourse to grow in the public sphere, our Prime Minister, you know, now last year saying one thing, this year saying something completely different. I think when anyone high profile in the public sphere kind of legitimizes the language that harms minority communities, it emboldens all those nasty people out there with an agenda. It does. And I think that's why people like me, I know I'm a nobody, but I think people like me who consider themselves a trans ally need to step up and be vocal about it. And it's not comfortable. It's not nice. It's not nice to be sworn at. It's not nice to have people seeking me out in all kinds of different ways and calling me horrible names. But I can step away from that when I want to. That's not my lived experience. And I think it's time we all pulled our weight a little bit in the fight for equality.
We need more voices like you. You're not a nobody. I think when we hear a voice of somebody who's showing such love and passion during such complex and distressing times, it makes us feel loved and safer. You know, to feel so unsafe and so invalidated and so misunderstood.
the vast majority of comments on that post, and it's on TikTok as well, it went a bit crackers on there as well, but the vast majority of comments have been supportive. They are in support by a long, 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 long way. So take that into your hearts and hold it close, because I do think all this nasty kind of vitriol and hate, although it might be very vocal, I don't think it's a majority of people. I really don't.
I'm so glad you said that. You're absolutely right. And there has been such an outpouring of love. And not that I know the statistics, but I can hear it loud and clear. I can hear that joint rage and love and people really coming together. We've seen it at the protests, right? On the all those thousands of people that have come together. You know, we've seen cis heterosexual people fighting with trans and queer people, and that's the sort of things I've been trying to fuel my timeline with as well. But I'm so glad to hear you've had so much love. I can imagine, as much as you said you can step back, that some of the comments have been difficult to read, or what has the impact been on you?
Most difficult ones are the ones of people who have sought me out in my actual life, not answering me on Instagram, but going through my internet history and trying to find other ways to contact me, because they land on you when you're not expecting them, and they're usually quite vile. And those are hard to shake off. I mean, I just had an email, a really horrible email. So, you know, somebody said to go and find my website and send me a message. And it leaves a horrible feeling at your core. And I just have to remember, you know, I have trans and non-binary friends. I have a friend who I've danced with for decades, and they consider themselves a two-spirit. But it took them a long time to find a place where they felt acknowledged and understood. I love them. I love them. And if I can't be brave enough, it's making me tearful. If I can't be brave enough to say what I believe, they've won. And I don't want that to happen.
They haven't won.
No, not yet. Not yet. I've got my hat on and we're still fighting.
Your hat's glorious. They're never... It's just my opinion, but I don't know what you think, Steph, but I don't think they're ever going to win. I think the most hateful voices scream the loudest. And, you know, when we think about just how many people there are that either don't have an opinion, have a mixed opinion, or just love everybody, those voices are the quietest, but they are some of the things that we need to hold dear. And I'm so glad that you've had some lovely comments. But it is, to have any barrage of hate during such an emotionally difficult time, I can really hear the impact there. And the love that you have for all those people in your life, and wanting to be a voice for people that you can see are probably feeling even more vulnerable and fragile than they may have done before.
Yeah, that's true. And I think there's this whole discourse around trans people who just wake up one morning and decide they're going to be a woman. I mean, honestly, meet a trans person, talk to them, understand the difficulties of their journey and how they've struggled and how they still struggle. And it's not even difficult to do that. You know, you can just go and seek people out on social media. I tried to make a video about this, and then I thought, I don't want to direct unkind people onto people's feeds that may not welcome them. But it's not even hard to go and learn about people's experiences. And if that doesn't soften your heart and change your mind, I just don't know what will.
Do you know what, Steph? I want you to speak here. Did you wake up one Monday morning and go, oh, I'm trans now?
Well, over the years, I've done my story on major platforms, including ITV, BBC, radio and TV, and worked for them. And they all know that story. And I woke up one morning at 4 years old when I started to still think I was a girl. I did not know I was a boy. And I was an only child. My mother and father didn't ever correct me. They just let me grow up. And it wasn't until I went to school, and we're talking of, 1958, 59? And obviously I went to play in the Wendy house with the girls, and the moment I said it's my turn to be mum, one of the girls complained, "But you're a boy." And I'm just stood there in shock thinking, what? Remember, I'm only five, and this is my first day at school. And the teacher came in, dragged me out by my ear, and put me in an area where there was just boys, and said, you got to play with tractors and farm vehicles and build things with blocks. And from then on, I hid.
Yeah, until you didn't.
Well, it was either come out or crumple in a big heap somewhere.
I mean, those are options, but absolutely. So you didn't
take those options. No. I'm glad you did what you did.
Yeah. Just to clarify, so you didn't wake up at 40?
No, funnily enough, I didn't wake up and decide that one day, I'm a bloke, but now today I want to be a woman.
Wow, that, you know, shocking.
It's going to shock some turfs.
Absolutely, and that is the truth of people's journeys, isn't it? That you know, yeah. Steph's voice there is going to resonate with a lot of trans people, and even with myself, who grew up not knowing that there were really gender binaries. I was very fortunate with two very loving parents, and there were not designated toys or clothes, but not everybody has that experience, and you know, school makes a huge impact, and with everything that's happening now within education. And I just think, you know, again, bringing it back to you, I can see that there's probably still so much you'd like to say. And are there things you'd like to say as we come towards the end of the interview? Are there more videos that you'd like to make?
Oh, gosh, I don't know if there's more videos I'd like to make. I probably will make more videos. But, you know, I write books. So I've just had a thought that what I should use this moment for is to amplify some trans and non-binary voices in the children's literary world. So if you've never heard of her, Juno Dawson writes amazing books. So I recommend Juno Dawson, who writes for young adults and adults, and LD Lipinski, who is a non-binary author who has written some wonderful books too, and they are on TikTok, and you can find them and find, just Google them and find their books and support them.
Thank you. It's always lovely to have recommendations, especially from, you know, these incredible creative authors who are doing wonderful things to probably help children feel seen as well, and helping children to communicate their thoughts.
Absolutely.
Catherine, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on Shout Out, and thank you for everything that you've shared, and the support and love that you're pouring out. I could feel it through the screen. It was palpable. And I wish you and everybody listening so much love through what is a very difficult time.
Well, the same to you. It has been lovely chatting, and to, you know, to remind the world that we're all just human beings. Let's just exist in kindness.
Let's. Absolutely. Thank you, Catherine.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
Right.
The lovely Callum Scott and My World.
I love that song. Nice. I can't hear me.
You can't hear
no,
you?
No, there we go.
Aren't you lucky?
I do love the sound of my own voice. I took my headphones off so I could harmonise.
Yeah. It just seemed like a fitting song after that lovely song. Interview as well. Yeah. They're both very good interviews, but that last one was very emotional.
Very good, yeah. Very good.
Just thank you so much. And also, Terence Starr, we have a shout-out.
I wanted to say a big shout out.
A shout out.
To Paul, who joined us in the pub this evening.
He did.
When we were getting ready for the programme.
That was
lovely. And he's a loyal listener since the beginning, I believe. So,
Hello, Paul. Thank you very much for listening.
Everybody else, hello, Paul.
Hello.
Hello, Paul.
Excellent.
Yeah, it was a lovely hour.
We had a nice time, didn't we? Yeah.
But if you want some good news, it's going to get warmer from Sunday.
Is it?
Yes. Me, eh? They are. I believe it when I see it.
22, 23 next week for a whole week.
Ooh, really? Wow.
Potentially. Long story short, the jet stream's moving and going to go above us, so it's going to suck the air up from the continent.
Oh, Mr. Science. Yeah.
If you're wondering why we're talking weather on an LGBTQ magazine,
it's because we control it.
Because we control
these little bits of quirks control everything, whether people like it or not.
It's the Floridian queers controlling it.
Not the Floridian queers. Gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair. You know, all these turfs get angry, but I reckon it's just because England's cold and they're upset that we're not bringing the sunshine. And next and next week we shall.
What, bring the sunshine?
Yeah.
Yeah. Should we do it from outside?
In our own time.
Do you think the microphones will go out the window and we can just sit outside in the sun? Microphones.
It'll be a bit lively out there. Well, background noise.
Yeah. Can't be as lively as it was in Castle Park when I walked through that on Sunday. Oh, my gosh.
That was
don't do that on 420 day. No.
Oh, no, I would. but I didn't.
There must have been 30 sound systems all playing different things. And between that and the cannabis smoke, I'm amazed we made it from one side to the other, but we did. So
because what, without getting the munchies?
Yeah.
This is Bristol.
Anyway, that's it for this week. If you do want to get in touch, you can do so on our socials or our website.
Absolutely. Head to shoutoutradio.lgbt to get in touch. It's also where you'll find this show and many others.
Next week, I know we keep saying, I promise, it's Daddy Spencer next week, isn't it, Steph? It's definitely Daddy Spencer.
Hopefully. Of course it is.
From myself, from Terry, from Steph, from Tara, and from Ezra, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.